Just wanted to share something about the revision, you know, the test. Basically, you know, today I was actually preparing some questions. I started preparing some questions. So then I realized that seven chapters will be too much because, you know, I have kept 2 hours. And beyond 2 hours also, we cannot keep the exam because then it will be too much. So if we want to have a two-hour exam, then I am assuming that there will be minimum 30 questions. Okay, and, you know, assuming that each question might take around 5 minutes. So then it comes to 150 minutes, and 2 hours means 120 minutes. So obviously, each and every question answer will not take 5 minutes. It might take 2 minutes also. It might take 1 minute also. So average will come to about 2 hours or something. So I am thinking of giving 30 questions or maybe, you know, more than that probably. But at the same time, I want to make sure that I don't rush with the questions and, you know, I can ask all the important questions, you know, I can ask. I should not miss anything. So that's why I decided that we should have it chapters 1 to 3 only for the first test.
No problem.
Okay. And I think, you know, all devotees will be relaxed.
Yes, good idea.
To hear
Prabhuji.
That.
Yes.
Prabhuji. Yes. Prabhuji, Primrasu.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, that questions will be MCQs or objective type question or short answer question or long answer question?
Every question will be long answer question.
Achha, you,
so you have to elaborate. Achha. Whatever you want. Yeah, so no short answer. See, that shortcut you don't want to take.
Hare
okay,
Krishna.
Whatever you understand, write everything.
So should I
whatever
give
whatever explanation, you can give example, you can quote.
Oh, God.
Yeah, wherever examples are required, you can quote examples, you can quote Shastra, you can, so depending on the, see, basically all questions should cover important points, all the answers should cover important points. So that is what is required. You know, you have to provide the ascent of what we have discussed and it should include everything. So it's not necessary to, you know, write for one question, it's not necessary to write one page. Okay. But whatever, you know, you can write, all important points should be there in that. So this is not a multiple choice answer where you have, you know, answers already there and you have to select. It does not make sense actually, you know, for the exam. So, whatever you have understood, you just write that.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
So we have set the date, you know, as of now on next Sunday, which is, I think, 23rd. It's a Ekadashi day, very auspicious day. Okay. So what I will do is, for devotees who are staying, who are in India, and who all can attend on 23rd, I will send the question paper maybe in the afternoon, evening. I mean, what time is, you know, convenient to you all? Because what I have to do is, you know, I have to give you 2 hours. See, once I send you the question paper, then I think most of you will be taking the printout and then you will be writing, right? I don't think anyone can type so fast. Or someone would like to type, then it is their decision. But, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, once I send the question paper, you'll take print out and then you'll write answers and you'll scan it and send it to me. So all this should be done within 2.5 hours. So the moment I send you and you receive the question paper, you know, I will set the time. Like, you know, if I send you by 5 o'clock, then I should get the answers by 7:30. So do you think this is feasible for all of you?
I think it will be feasible for me, but I don't know what about others.
Do you
have
to send the answer?
You can write, you know, normal, like, you know, you can write with the pen.
Okay,
or
and then making
whatever.
It a PDF copy, we can send mail.
Yeah, I mean PDF or whatever. See, I'm not going to make changes in that, right? So I'm not going to edit your answers. And so you can send Word file, whatever is, you know, like you don't have to convert or something. You, whatever, you know, Word, PDF or whatever you feel, that's fine. So you have to, basically you have to scan it. It can be image file also. Okay. So I think that is the only option, you know, because answer paper, how will you otherwise, you know, how will you send it to me? So it should come through email only. So you can take it through your, you know, camera phone, full camera, or you can take it through, if you have a scanner, then you can take it through that.
Achha,
but you have to all email me. You don't WhatsApp. Don't WhatsApp. Okay, you have to all email.
What is your email ID, Prabhu?
Which email ID I will send, that email ID you have to reply. You have to send the answer paper to that.
Is this your email ID, Krishna Gator?
Yeah, mostly I will send to that only, but I will decide that later.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Anyways, first receive the question paper. You know, don't think about sending the answers first.
That is the more important. question paper is more important.
Yeah.
And before that, writing the answer is more important.
So any devotees have any question, or, you know, is everyone okay with this?
Typing is fine, right?
Okay.
You don't mind us typing.
What about other devotees?
I'm ready.
I'm sorry, I have joined late, but the test will be recorded chapter-wise, right? For NOD.
No. See, NOD I have already said, no, that it will be chapters 1 to 3, along with introduction and
preface.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, so...
So on 23rd we are having NOD, right?
Huh?
On 23rd we are having NOD. NOD or TT?
Yes.
What?
NOD. NOD is first.
No. Okay.
Yeah, and then next week on 30th will be CC.
Very good, Prabhuji.
Okay.
What is your email ID that you posted in the WhatsApp so that?
Chapter is 1 to 3 and introduction and preface. That is the syllabus for the exam.
Okay, and what is your email ID that you please put it in the WhatsApp?
Yeah, you know, the email ID, you know, see, first of all, I will ask all of your email ID. And then I will send to all of you. And one more thing, some devotees they have requested at a later time on the same day, or probably, you know, 1 or 2 days later. So you all should reply me with the date and the time and the preferred time, you know, so that I can send you accordingly. But obviously, you know, I would prefer that, you know, it's around the same time. Like, you know, if I set the time to 5 o'clock, then it will be nice if all devotees can at least, you know, maximize by 5:30, because then, you know, if someone will say 5 o'clock, someone will say 5:15, someone will say 6:15, someone will say 7, 8. So then I have to, you know, all the time I have to be, you know, in my house only sending you question papers. So better if, you know, I think common time should be set. And then, you know, if it is 15 minutes, half an hour here and there, that's fine. Okay, or maybe then, you know, later on, maybe after, we can have 2 hour gap or something, if some devotees would like to get the question paper later. So that way we can kind of, you know, manage. Or what we can do is, you know, I will send question paper to all of you, but then based on trust, you know, like, what you can do is, whenever you have, you know, you get time, you open it and you start giving the exam. So let's say if I send a question paper at 5 o'clock to everyone, then you don't open it unless you, you know, start the exam. And so maybe some devotee opens at 7 o'clock, 7:30. Okay, so then they should let me know what time they opened, and then, you know, in 2.5 hours they have to finish everything. So scanning and printing and all that, whatever it is, you know, you have to finish that. And you have to send it to me within 2.5 hours. Okay, so I think that will be, you know, logical, because I cannot, you know, each and every devotee might have different timings, so, but, you know, I can send it to all of you, at least at the same day, on the same day, I can send it to all of you at the same time. And then, you know, devotees, according to their preference, they can open and they can give the exam like that. So that will be completely based on trust, right? Trust each and every devotee. Obviously, you know, I don't expect any devotee, you know, I think everyone is, you know, everyone in the group is sincere enough, you know, not to do any kind of cheating, in the sense that, you know, if someone is giving the exam early and then if other devotees are giving late, then the devotees who give late should not ask the, you know, devotees who give early, you know, that what were the questions and all that. So that much, you know, faith I'm keeping, and obviously honesty is required. So, you know, we are not here to compete with each other, or we are not here to score ranks, right? So we are just here to share our understanding. Okay, so even if you write, you know, maybe if you answer only 2-3 questions, honestly, that will be sufficient for me. You know, I'll be very happy. But if you, you know, if someone will ask other devotee that what questions were there, and if they then prepare for it and then they give the test, then obviously it's not going to be good. I won't like it at all. So everything will be based on trust. Okay. So, yeah, so any devotees have any questions, comments about this?
Yeah, Prabhuji, it makes sense. Our goal is to revise and to be thorough with important questions. So it is okay if, like, you give a question paper, even if they prepare with those questions, still they have to write in their own thing. And that would be like, you know, it would be very nice, I think.
Is there what?
Our goal is to revise and be thorough with the important topics and the questions, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so even if we know the question and we prepare it accordingly and we write that whenever it is, then also it is fine because the purpose is not actually.
No, the purpose is not so. Because see what happens, our focus will be just on the questions then. And then whatever answers we hear during the recording, we'll mug up those answers and we'll write it down. But I don't want that. Main thing is, I want is that devotees, then see, it's not a question of giving exam, okay, like for time being. It is a question of having this concept in your brain forever. You know, like whenever you are asked this question, you can answer it. Okay, see, your concept should be clear. So that is the goal of this exam. So you don't have to mug up anything. See, because you mug up and then you forget things. Okay, so you have to...
Not mugging up, but you prepare accordingly. Like, you know the question, still you can prepare it, no? Like, in a way, in your own word, the way you want it. Like, I don't know. You know the question, then also it's fine. You don't know the question, then also it's fine. See, that is what I thought.
No, I don't think, like, I don't, like, I
yeah.
don't want that. Yeah, because unnecessarily, I mean, I don't know. See, what can happen is, what will happen, and probably what will happen is I will find same answers everywhere. Okay, so, and what will be, you know, and that will be why? Because once I send you the question paper, you start preparing for that. What will happen is, you know, you hear the recording and everyone will try to find out the answer to that question, and then whatever you know, shared in the class, you all will write the same points. Okay, and obviously no one is going to, you know, think, you know, whether we should understand the concepts or not. So I think everyone will, you know, will look for the answers. So I'm not comfortable with that.
Okay, yes, sir.
So let it be a test only. It should be sudden, you know, it should be sudden exam. The question should be unknown till the last moment. So then only, you know, we will actually try, like, you know, we'll be confident about our concepts.
Yes.
Okay. And then only you will be able to write something of your own. Right?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes, so we'll give me time.
Yeah, okay. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so that is my point, you know. So, see, then I will get, you know, different answers from different devotees, and that is what I want, actually. You know, like, because, see, each and every devotee, they are individuals, okay. So we don't want, we want to respect that individuality, and I really like, you know, if I see different answers, the way you present, you know, it will actually, because otherwise what will happen, you know, all answer papers, you know, I will be reading the same answers, you know, it will be like repeating. There will be no point on that. So best, I think, you know, the question should be, it should not be revealed to the last moment. So what about other devotees? Are you all comfortable?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji, we are comfortable.
Yes, Prabhuji. So whatever I have discussed doesn't
Prabhuji,
make sense to you all.
Prabhuji, I joined right now, so I don't know what happened. What discussion is going on.
You have missed
yes,
last 10-15 minutes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So you can just hear the recording because Sumit Prabhu has recorded.
Okay, Prabhuji.
So
yeah, okay, Prabhuji.
But I will just brief you what we covered. So we were just discussing the format of the question paper. And then I was asking about, you know, what time I'll be sending the question paper and within how much, within 2.5 hours you have to send the answer. You know, you can print and you can scan, write the answer, scan it to me and send on my email.
Okay.
Yeah. So then other details you can just hear the recording.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so any questions or any more questions on this?
So courses of the degrees, Prabhuji, is only from 1 to 3 chapter in NOD?
Yeah, yes. Now I have reduced that. Because, you know, while I was preparing the questions today, I saw actually that, you know, there will be so many questions. And 1 to 7 chapters means maybe it will go up to 90 questions probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
1 to 3.
See, okay.
1 to 3.
Yeah, so 1 to 3 only. And so we'll have more tests, you know. We'll 1 to 3, then 6 to 9 and like that. 3 to 6, 6 to 9 like that we'll have. So 3 chapters, I think it's okay. Okay, another thing is, you know, majority of the devotees in NOD group, they have chosen the option of chapter-wise. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Right? So, you know, we'll go ahead with chapter-wise option. And for CC class, I think majority till now is probably recording-wise. So,
okay, that will be fine.
Yeah, so mostly we'll do recording-wise for CC and chapter-wise for... Okay, so one more thing. Vinita Mataji suggested a very good thing, which is also an option. What she suggested is that we can have, after every month, we can have exam. So, you know, there will be 4 recordings fixed. And that way, you know, chapter will be covered or not. We don't know, but it will be fixed, like, you know. So, revision will also take place after every month. So, do you think this is a good option?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, it's a good option, Prabhuji. It's a good option. For Chaitanya, Chaitamrita, if you are going recording-wise, then monthly exams are good. But NOD, if we go chapter-wise, we'll finish that earlier. So, yeah.
Yeah, NOD, see, basically NOD is like, you know, 19 chapters total. So,
yes,
we can do it chapter-wise also. Because then, you know, 3 means, you know, around 6 exams we'll have, right? 6 tests we'll have. So, for NOD, and we'll finish it. Okay. And CC, now CC, you know, CC is a big thing, okay? So, you know, if you want to revise it, you know, then obviously after every month is okay. But see, now, if you want every month, then there will be 4 recordings. And if you want recording-wise, then it will be 2 or 3 recordings, you know. Then it will be less than 1, you know, month also. Then you will be revising after 2-3 weeks like that. So it will be like a, you know, bi-weekly thing. You
can take CC classes are 4 times a month, so the recordings would be 4 recordings, 4 audio recordings that everybody hears, and at the end of the month you take a CC exam, so that way we can cover up quickly also CC.
Yeah, I also same thing, Mataji, actually. I suggested that thing only.
Yeah, so
how much recording
for
how much?
Yeah, either you go for 4 recordings or you go for 2 recordings like that. So that depends now, you know, if all devotees. So what about others? What do they prefer?
Group 2-3 recordings is okay.
How many?
2-3 recordings.
2-3.
No, it's only 4. Actually, okay. We can fix the day, Prabhuji. That's last day of, and there will not be confusion. that this day will be the exam.
Yeah, so and see, chapter-wise, if you keep the exam chapter-wise, and we, as we know, that each chapter contains, you know, more than 100 verses, and generally, you know, like yesterday we covered 30 verses. Okay, so it all depends.
Yeah,
and the purpose is big. If there is more information, then you know, it will, one chapter might take more than 4 classes also, maybe 5-6 also. So it will, you know, extend like that. So, you know, so chapter wise, you know, it will be, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, all depends on the devotees. If they are comfortable chapter wise also, then they'll have to, you know, hear 6-7 recordings at a stretch. They will have to revise. So is that okay for all of you, you know? Otherwise it will be too much.
Even if we list to one chapter wise, so that, because the chapters are very big.
What?
We have done 3 chapters in CC, so we have 3 exams. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3.
Yeah, but
only chapters are very big, probably.
Yeah, chapters are very big. I think one chapter we had, you know, I have taken more than 5 classes probably for one chapter. Then it will be too much for all of you.
Okay.
Anyways, let's do one thing. At least for now, CC, you know, as we have decided, let's keep 3 chapters initially. And after that, let's do it, you know, maybe monthly wise, or maybe, you know, like twice in a month.
After 2 recordings.
Okay.
Yes.
Or maybe once in a month is, I think, okay. Like, you know. So okay. At least you will be able to manage to prepare for the exam, you know. Otherwise, 4 recordings, you know, you'll have to hear. You know, when you will hear that? You know, you'll have to hear regularly then. Repeatedly, you have to hear them. So, I mean, you know, CC chapters are big actually. You know, we have a lot of information. I have shared so many things. And I will be sharing many things also, additional things. Okay. So let's keep it probably once in a month is okay, I think, for CC.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, yeah, one more thing. See, the devotees who are in CC and NOD group, so we have, you know, many points were discussed commonly in both groups. Okay, like Guru Tattva.
Prabhuji, why is it going, Prabhuji?
Yeah, there is some disturbance. If devotees are outside, they can mute the phone.
No, it is echoing, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. So, like, you know, Guru Tattva is there. Then, you know, many topics we have discussed commonly in both groups. So you can expect repeated questions, you know, like in NOD and CC class, because some devotees, they are in CC class, but they are not in NOD, and some devotees, they are in NOD class, but they are not in CC class. Okay. So in that case, if you find any similar questions, you know, in both the groups, then you can answer in one group and you can skip the other one, and you can write it that we have already answered in NOD or CC class like that. Okay, so I think this is what I wanted to share. This is all I remembered. So which chapter we are currently?
Conjugal lover.
Did we finish chapter 16?
Prabhuji, conjugal lover is going on.
Conjugal lover is finished, no, last time.
No, it's not finished.
No, but the Vatsal that is.
Sorry, Vatsal Leva.
Last time
I have finished. Okay. So, conjugal, conjugal love you have finished, but I think parenthood and friendship is remaining.
Yes, sir, I mean, that is only the mention.
Okay, so before that, now, if you all remember, I had stopped, you know, we had stopped at the point that, you know, where do we go, you know, after, like, you know, I was sharing that devotees who do not fall in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, they, you know, they have to go to Dwarka. That's where we have, you know, stopped and we are discussing all this point. Right? So,
right.
Then I was, you know, I was going to share about difference between Goloka and Gokula. Right? So what we'll do is, someone can finish parenthood or friendship and then I will share, you know, the difference between Gokula and Goloka. And, you know, what kind of devotees go which place, that I will discuss in detail. Okay. So who will read? Who is going to read?
Shall I read?
Yes.
Okay. Parenthood or friendship. Devotees who are attracted to Krishna as parents or as friends should follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj or Subala or respectively. Nanda Maharaj is the poster father of Krishna. And out of all the friends of Krishna, Subala is the most intimate in Vrajabhumi. In the development of becoming either the father or friend of the Lord, there are two varieties. One method is that one may try to become the father of the Lord directly, and the other is that one may follow the Nanda Maharaj and cherish the ideal of being Krishna's father. One of these two, the attempt to directly become the father of Krishna is not recommended. Such a development can become polluted with Mayavadi impersonal philosophy. The Mayavadis or monists think that they themselves are Krishna, and if one thinks that he himself has become Nanda Maharaj, then his parental love will become contaminated with the Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavad philosophical way of thinking is offensive, and no offender can enter into the kingdom of God to associate with Krishna. In the Skanda Puran, there is a story of an old man residing in Hastinapur, capital of the kingdom of Pandus, who desired Krishna as his beloved son. This old man was instructed by Narad to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, and thus he achieved success. There is a statement in the Narayan Yuhastav prayers that persons who are always engaged in thinking of the Lord as their husband, friend, father or well-wisher are always worshipable by everyone. The spontaneous love for Krishna can be developed only by the special mercy of Krishna or his pure devotee. The process of devotional service is sometimes called Pushti Marga. Pushti means nourishing and Marga means path. Such development of sentiment nourishes devotional services to the highest standard. Thus, it is called the path of nourishment or Pushti Marga. The Vallabha Sampradaya, which belongs to the Vishnu Swami sect of Vaishnava religion, worship Krishna in this Pushti Marga. Generally, devotees in Gujarat worship Bala Krishna under this heading of Pushti Marga.
Okay, so this is about parenthood or friendship, Vatsalabha or Shakyaras. So ultimately, if you want to have a rasa with Krishna in Sakya or Vatsala Bhava, then we have to follow in the footsteps of the Rajvasis. And I think probably is aware that the Vallabha Sampradaya is called as Pushti Marga. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took one of the Siddhants from their Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, which is Pushti Marga, okay, Rag Marga, Raganuga Marga. That's coming from Vallabha Sampradaya. Okay. And another Siddhant that he took from this Sampradaya is Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Surrender to Krishna. Okay. So, generally Gujaratis, you know, I belong to this particular Sampradaya, Vallabha Sampradaya. So, you know, they generally worship Bal Krishna, Bal Gopal, okay, in the, you know, following in the way of Krishna Marga. So, okay, any questions on this? Any comment?
Prabhuji, sorry, Paul. Prabhuji, is there any connection between Rupanuga and this parental and friendship?
Connection between?
Rupanuga. Rupanuga and parental friendship.
Okay, so see, first of all, Rupanuga means whoever is following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, he is called Rupanuga. And Raganuga is those who are following the sentiments of the Vrajvasis. So they are called Raganuga devotees. Okay.
Achha, is there any connection?
Raganuga devotee, yeah, so connection is there, no? Like, each and every devotee who aspires to be in Braj with some Ras with Krishna, they are following the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. So here it is said, no, in the beginning it said that devotees are attracted to Krishna as parents or friends should follow in the footsteps of Nand Maharaj or Subal. So that is Raganuga, bhakti. So Raganuga does not mean it is connected only with the gopis. So Raganuga in general means to follow the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. So that's why we call it Vrajvasi. We don't say follow the footsteps of gopis. So any devotee might have different ras with Krishna in the spiritual world. But to enter Vraj, they have to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. Okay.
And
so is this clear? Everyone understood this point?
Yes, Prabhuji. And if we are considering we are not considering Raganuga Bhakti, and if you are considering Rupanuga Bhakti, like if you are trying to serve the devotees of the Lord, not Krishna himself, then is this a right way to please the Lord?
So, often, see, whenever we serve the devotees of the Lord, then he is more happier than when we serve him directly. So that is obviously, you know, the best path. Okay, but the sentiments are also very important. So, what is your aspiration? Ultimately, you know, yesterday in CC class, we were discussing that Krishna, he is only happy when there is spontaneous love. So, generally, he is not so much happy when, you know, the devotees take subordinate position and, you know, consider him as master. So, awe and reverence, he does not generally appreciate so much. Okay, he appreciates pure spontaneous devotion, means, you know, intimate rasa. So, even if you are serving the devotees, but you know the sentiment is important. So if we inculcate the sentiment of the Vrajvasi, then we go to Vraj. If we inculcate the sentiment of, you know, if we don't have, you know, spontaneous devotion, we have awe and reverence, then we go to Vaikuntha or we can go to Dwarka. So now I will be discussing about that. So where do we go? Dwarka, Vaikuntha, Goloka, where? You know, depending on what mood and bhava of devotee. Okay, so now you see, another thing is Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, one of the siddhants that Mahaprabhu took is service to the devotees. Okay, so they very firmly believe in the principle of service to the devotees, then service to the Lord directly. Okay, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that principle. So this is in general the siddhant of bhakti. It is the highest thing that we render service to the devotees. But then, you know, at the same time, service to devotees can take different roles, you know, different forms. So, so we have to follow the sentiments if you want to go to Braj. Okay. So we have to have spontaneous devotion. So does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other devotees have question?
Prabhuji, this question mark, then Shuddha Advaita. So that also, like, again coming, what is that Shuddha Advaita? How they, what is their philosophy? You have any idea on that?
If you remember, you know, if you remember, I read a passage which, you know, included all the four sequences. It was not Advait only. It was the four Vaishnava Sampradaya Siddhant.
Not that much only. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see. Actually, currently, I am also trying to find out, you know, detailed information about their, you know, what the difference is between Nimbarka Sampradaya and Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and how it also differs from our Sampradaya. But and interestingly, you know, like not even a single devotee has, you know, put up an article on this elaborately. I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even Chaitanya Prabhu has already also not addressed. So I don't know the details of it.
Okay.
I will find out, you know, I'm looking for that. Maybe I will write to some devotee who will know that. In fact, I returned it to a couple of devotees, but they couldn't answer that. So I don't know. Let's see.
Okay.
And what happens is, you know, if you write to Chaitanya Prabhu or some other devotees, they are so busy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, you know, like they'll reply after months like that. So, even in Chaitanya Prabhu,
okay. For this question one, like, you know, on that day we had, so you explained me that much. So in Gujarati,
yeah,
few books are available which are very authentic. Like there is a course going on in Bombay University regarding Koshimaan.
Okay.
So
okay.
Like I ordered, and if
it is,
I find it, I'll share it with you.
Yeah, but is that on, you know, the Siddhant, like, you know, the their philosophy or,
I have not,
you know?
I say yeah, it is philosophy. They have proper exam for.
You have to specifically look for Shuddha Dvaita, you know, that you have to specifically look for. Otherwise,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
you will just find some brief information. Otherwise, you know, it won't be so much.
So there is one full book on that, Shuddha Dvaita. One full book.
Oh, that's very good. So if you have that in English, you have it in English, then I can also read maybe in the future.
I told them, like, whichever language is available, please pass it on to me. Now let me see which is coming. Like, they have in Gujarati, they have in English, or I think only in Gujarat, something like that. So let me see. Whatever I have, I will pass it on to you.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, see, the fundamental differences between these four sampradayas is generally connected to the material energy and the living entities, how they are connected to the Lord. That's the only difference. You know, the way they are presented is different. Okay. But the rest of the basic philosophy of Vaishnava Siddhanta remains the same. That we are eternally part and parcel of Krishna or Vishnu, and we are meant to serve Him. That's the basic common thing for all these four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Okay. And we cannot become one, obviously. You know, we have separate identities. But the way we are connected, you know, the energies are connected to each other, that's only different in these four Vaishnava Sampradayas. So Ramanujacharya Sampradaya is very clear. Madhvacharya Sampradaya is also clear. But Nimbarka and this Vishnu Swami, and how, you know, how it is differing from our Achinta Bhedavat Tattva, that I would like to understand.
But it is called Rudra Sampradaya as well. So, like, what is the...
Yeah. Right. So, Rudra Sampradaya is Lord Shiva. So, Vishnu Swami is Acharya of that Rudra Sampradaya.
Okay. So, that also must be making some difference in the philosophy.
See, generally, you know, Vishnu Swami is Acharya. So, he is actually, you know, making that Siddhants. Like, you know, he is the one who is actually presenting those Siddhants. Like, you know, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, they are Acharyas of our Sampradaya, so they have, you know, made those Siddhants, so presented actually. So Vishnu Swami is the one. So, and then obviously, you know, because he's the leading Acharya of that Sampradaya, so whoever is following his Sampradaya, they have to follow that
one.
Yeah,
but Rudra Sampradaya,
actually,
then what is the connection of them with the Lord Shiva is my question.
Means it is coming down from Lord Shiva. You know, that knowledge is passed down from Lord Shiva.
So they have to worship Lord Shiva, isn't it? Is it like that?
See, do we worship Brahma? does our sampradaya worship Brahma? No, right?
No.
So, so yeah, whatever standards are set by Vishnu Swami, or basically, see, after even much Vishnu Swami appeared, you know, quite earlier, you know, I think maybe before Lord Chaitanya also, okay, and then obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contemporary was Vallabhacharya. So Vallabhacharya is the present Acharya there actually. So they are following Vallabhacharya's teachings, okay, and whatever is you know passed down by Vallabhacharya, so that they are following. In fact, interestingly, Vallabhacharya took initiation into Madhurya Ras from Gadadhar Pandit. That is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, but at the same time, you know, he has passed down the worship of Bal Gopal in Vallabha Sampradaya instead of Madhurya Ras. Okay, I think he was instructed by Gopal that, you know, he should spread Bal Gopal worship, like, you know, Vatsala Bhav. So that's why I think he did that. But he himself actually was worshipping, you know, Radha and Krishna, you know, in that Sampradaya. So he took initiation of Gadadhar Pandit. Okay. Another thing is that, you know, according to Gaur Ganesh's Deepika, I think Vallabhacharya is incarnation of Sukhdev Goswami.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But the Vallabha Sampradaya, they have a different, you know, interpretation on this. So there is a book they have written, which is also available in Athwara Temple. And in that book, it is explained that actually Vallabhacharya is the effulgence of Radharani and Krishna. So that effulgence is, you know, coming in the form of Vallabhacharya. So this is how they have represented. So there is some difference, you know, like, anyways. But anyway, you know, like, in general, you know, so devotees, I think, you know, when I was speaking to one Nadwara devotee, Srinathji devotee, so he was telling me, he was accepting that Madhavendra Puri is the one who actually discovered Gopal. And he also accepted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, Krishna himself in mood of Radharani. And then he also accepted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabhacharya, they had met. So now further details, I don't know if they, you know, accept or not. So, and I think they also, like, you know, I think we have to discuss with some who is very scholarly, you know, in their sampradaya. So maybe that devotee can answer questions.
Yeah, found one number that also. He stays in you. Maybe you can go and see him. I found that number.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. Actually, you know, there is one devotee called Hasmukh Bhai in Haveli, in Jew temple, which is like 2 minutes walking distance from my house. So maybe maybe I can go there once and I can ask him questions.
Oh, that would be wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so other devotees, do they have any questions or comment about this? Okay. Alright, so now let's discuss about the different spiritual planets that the devotees attain according to their bhav. Okay, so in general, we know that whoever worships Krishna and Radha, they have to follow in the footsteps of Brajavasi, so they can go to Braj. If they do not follow in Raganuga Bhakti, if they follow in Vaidhi Bhakti, then they go to Dwarka. Okay? That's what we understand. That's what we have read till now. Okay, but now I will share something which is extremely interesting by, you know, the Acharyas.
Do I have a question?
Huh?
I had a question. Those who follow the Vaidhi Bhakti strictly, they go to Vaikuntha, and those who follow the Raghunava Bhakti, and in that also, if one follows the Swakya Ras, then that devotee goes to Dwarka. And those who follow the Parkya Ras or other Matsalya or Sakya, they go to Vrajna. So is it right?
Okay, so yeah, it is not completely right. Okay. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jaya Dharma that whoever, see, now interestingly, it's not only about the way you worship, but it also matters whom you are worshipping. Okay. So now if you say that if you worship Radha and Krishna with Vaidhi Bhakti, when you go to Vaikuntha, then that is also not correct. Why? Because your object of worship is Radha Krishna. It is not Lakshmi Narayan. Right? So you cannot go to Vaikuntha. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you go to Dwarka. Okay. But now there is further more, you know, details into it. And I'll just, you know, read it so that, you know, you all will understand properly. Okay, so what does now Rupa Goswami says? A person who serves on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti with a desire for conjugal relationship with the Lord and a high position, but without desire for the gopis types of love, meaning the Vraj gopis. Okay, so after some time, they become a queen in Dwarka. So this is more clarification on what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Okay, so what does Rupa Goswami say? That a person who serves on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti with a desire for a conjugal relationship with the Lord and a high position. So with a desire for Swakya Ras and with a high position, but without the desire for the gopis type of love, after some time becomes a queen in Dwarka. Okay, so this is some more information in that. So did you understand this point?
But Prabhu, how can one desire for Swakya Ras and still act on Vaidhi platform? The thing that is contemplating about the Ras is that he is at the bhava level, or he is that much purified and he is not on that Ras level, right? It is following Vaidhi exclusively.
Yeah, so see, basically, if you follow Vaidhi Bhakti, you can go to Dwarka, because Dwarka, there is no Raganuga Bhakti. There is no spontaneous devotion, like the Vraj Gopis, the Vraj Vasis. So, you see in Dwarka also there is so much awe and reverence. Okay. And the object of worship is who? So, it should be Krishna Satyabhama or Krishna Rukmini. Okay, so they have to be the object of worship. And actually there are so many details, you know, about this also, that even if, you know, Dwarka is there, but still there is now a Vrindavan. So I don't know how many of you have heard about now Vrindavan. If you have not heard, maybe I will not discuss about it. But you know, let me just read on some more interesting things by Vishwanath Thakur, what he says about this, okay? And then Jiva Goswami also comments about this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur further comments on this. So there are, so many so many details. It is kind of confusing. But, so I will try to make things as simple as possible. If you understand the proper concept of this, principle, then, you will be able to get everything correct. Otherwise, you will be confused. So I will share two things. One thing is that devotee who is performing Vaidhi Bhakti, who is worshipping, now there are categories of Vaidhi Bhakti. So you worship Lakshmi Narayan in Vaidhi Bhakti, or you can worship Krishna Rukmini, Krishna Satyabhama in Vaidhi, or you can worship Radha and Krishna in Vaidhi. Okay, so that is Vaidhi Bhakti. So obviously. See, Vaidhi Bhakti means, it can go up to Radha Krishna. So what to speak, all other incarnations are lower than Radha and Krishna, right? So it is all included. So you can go up to Radha Krishna also, okay, in Vaidhi Bhakti. And when you perform Raganuga Bhakti, so Raganuga Bhakti only exists in Vraj Bhumi. That's it. So this concept you have to, if you understand this concept, then things will be very clear for you. Okay. So only Raganuga only exists in Vraj. It does not exist in Mathura, Dwarka or any other lower planetary system. Okay. Or lower Vaikuntha planets. It only exists in Vraj. Okay. Interestingly, now when you talk about Swakya and Parikya. Okay. So one thing you have to remember that Swakya Parikya is not connected to Raganuga Bhakti. Okay. So one can perform Raganuga and one can even attain Swakya Bhav with Radha and Krishna. And I will share the details, after some time, how it is possible. And one can perform Raganuga and can also attain Parikya Bhav with Radha Krishna. So both things are possible. So don't confuse Vaidhi with Swakya and Parikya. See, Vaidhi means awe and reverence. That much you remember as of now. And awe and reverence means, you know, you are actually seeing Krishna as God in the spiritual world. That's it. That much you should remember. And when you talk about Raganuga, then we are not seeing Krishna as God. So it is spontaneous love, but it can also include Swakya Ras.
But true, it is said that Madhurya Rasa's classification is Swaki and Parikya, right?
Yeah.
So Madhurya Rasa can be okay executed in Vaidhi also, you are saying.
But if you execute Madhurya Rasa in Vaidhi Bhakti, then also you can go to Goloka. But if you see Krishna as God, rather than seeing him as a coward or treating him as a coward boy. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, you do one thing. Yeah.
Okay. If Swaki is there while executing Raghunuga Bhakti, one is contemplating Swakiya, then what position he gets in Vrindavan?
Yeah. So you let's do one thing. Let me read everything. Okay, I just gave you the basics, so concepts, so that you'll be able to relate to it. And so let me now read everything, and then devotees, whatever question they have, will answer, we'll cover that. Okay. So now Srila Vishwanatha Chakravakur says, even though a person develops a strong desire for conjugal relationship with Krishna, if that person thinks that giving up all the rules in the scripture is improper and unfavorable for nourishing his sentiments, then he attains the position of being an associate of queens in Dwarka. Okay, so this is further details, Vishwanatha Thakur is giving, which Rupa Goswami also gave. Okay, I will repeat. Even though a person develops a strong desire for conjugal relationship with Krishna, if that person thinks that giving up all the rules in the scriptures is improper and unfavorable for nourishing his sentiments, then he attains the position of being an associate of queen in Dwarka, which means Vaidhi Bhakti, because he cannot give up rules in scriptures. Okay. And he attains the position. Okay, he wants a position also. So these are called associates of the Lord in Dwarka. So this is through Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay, and further he says that Kevalano Eva indicates completely that much. Thus, he completely follows the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti without rejecting any portions, such as meditation on Dwarka and worship of the queens, as being unfavorable for his bhav. Okay, so this is about Vaidhi Bhakti going to Dwarka. Then further he says, those who have a desire... Yeah, let me just, complete.
How the meditation on Dwarka is unfavorable if he is going to attain the queen's position in Dwarka?
No, he will reject the portion which is not according to Shastra. So basically, in Raganuga we meditate and we kind of follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So these kind of things, they will reject. Okay. Oh. But they will follow by the bhav. Okay. Yeah. So then further he says, those who have a desire to taste the sweetness of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, but worship according to Vaidhi Bhakti, using nyasas and mudras, do not attain Krishna in Dwarka with Rukmini, because they do not have that aspiration. Nor can they attain Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, because they lack the worship of path of Rag. Therefore, since they have a predominance of awareness of Krishna as the Lord in worship according to the paths of rule, they attain Radha and Krishna in a portion of Vrindavan called Goloka in correspond to that worship. It is understood that they do not attain the Vrindavan of pure sweetness. Okay, so this is a very, it's a deep revelation Vishwanatha Thakur is providing us. Okay, so did you all understand that those who have a liking, aspiration for Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, but they worship according to Vaidhi Bhav. Okay, so they do not go to Dwarka because their object of worship is not Rukmini or Satyabhama. they are object of worship is Radha and Krishna. But if they worship Radha and Krishna with Vaidhi Bhakti, Aishwarya Bhav, then they go to a portion of Vrindavan which is called as Goloka. Okay, so there is a section, like, you know, when we talk about Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, there is a section where, you know, in that particular section, Radha and Krishna are worshipped in Aishwarya Bhav. Okay, so this is something very interesting.
So, Goloka is outside of Vrindavan. I mean, the place where they get is outside of Vrindavan.
No, it is not outside Vrindavan. Actually, I will come to that. So let me just finish. No, then whatever questions you have, you can ask. Because there are, you know, many many details in this. So, you know.
So I will forget that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So see, because your question is connected to, you know, what I'm going to read. So you can remember the question, and you know, it will be answered. Yeah. So no problem, you do one thing, you ask the question if you want, and but I will answer, you know, as and when, you know, it is related to that statement by the Acharya. Okay. Okay, all other devotees, are you all following? Are you all able to understand?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, only one devotee said yes. What about others?
Yes,
yes, Prabhuji. Very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, so we are able to understand. Okay, good, yeah. So, now...
What is the reference of this?
Okay. So, this is what Vishwanath Thakur says. This is the Vishwanath Thakur comments in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. And then, he gives reference also. So, that's what I was going to read now. So, this is explained in Vaishnava Toshini, which is the commentary by Sanatana Goswami of the 10th canto. And it is also given in Laghu Bhagavat Amrit. Okay. So what it says is, what is called Goloka, now hear this attentively, okay. So coming to a question, Pranav Prabhu. So what is called Goloka is actually Gokul with a majestic aspect. So that is actually called Aishwarya Golok. Also in that book, it is said, Gokula's form of majesty, Goloka, arises from showing greater powers. Okay, so did you understand this? That actually, you know, what is called Gokul, which is completely sweet, there is only a spontaneous devotion, Raganuga Bhakti. So in Gokul, actually there is a part called as Goloka. So this Goloka is actually the one which where there is worship of Radha and Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav. So it's called Aishwarya Goloka. Okay.
So usually we refer to Goloka Vrindavan as one planet, right?
Yeah. See, that is actually in
Dwarka.
So okay. See, let me tell you this. That yeah, we call it Goloka Vrindavan. That is true. But then, see, why it is called only Goloka Vrindavan? Because obviously, when we are reading, you know, and when we are not aware of many things, you know, these things, specifically, you know, you're not aware that, like, you know, let's say, you know, you are a beginner to Krishna consciousness, so you're not even aware that there is a spiritual world. Okay, so will you tell that in the spiritual world there is Goloka, but Goloka is Aishwarya Goloka, and there is Gokula, it's purely Madhurya. So you don't say, you know, many things, you know, at lower stages. You know, when we go deep into philosophy, you know, when we advance in spiritual life, then we can digest all this, you know, knowledge. Right? So further aspects of Goloka are revealed actually to us. So like, you know, for example, initially we never knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had his own separate spiritual world in, you know, which is in Goloka, and it is called Navadeep. Okay, so Navadeep and... you know, Goloka right at this, you know, adjacent to each other in the spiritual world, right? So then we come to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally present. It's not that, you know, he came at some point of time, when Radha and Krishna combined together, or you know, like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also eternal, and we also came to know further that we can go to Navadvip, either we can go to Navadvip, either we can go to Goloka, or we can go to either of them. They're both of them, so, you know, simultaneously. So we can expand ourselves, and we can go to Gaur-lila as well as Krishna-lila. Okay, so further details are revealed. Then you know, many further details are revealed. Now, then you, once you go to Goloka, then you come to know that, oh, well, you know, Goloka is actually called Goloka in general, but Goloka, it can also refer sometimes to Gokul. And it can also refer to Goloka, Ishwara Goloka in the spiritual world. Okay. So details are always revealed, you know, as we go. And these details are revealed by our Goswamis. Like, you know, Roop Goswami, Vishwanathar Thakur, Jeev Goswami, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have all revealed these things to us. Okay. Like, you know, like, for
but
example...
Maybe Thakur told you. But that realm is generally called as Golok, where everything, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, and now this is called as Golok.
Yeah. So Golok consists of Mathura, Dwarka, Braj, and Navadvip. That's called Golok. Dwarka, Mathura, and Braj. That's called Goloka. And Navadvip is also, you know, adjacent to that, which is also in the center of that. It's highest, you know, Navadvip is also located the highest planet. So you, I think, you know, you, if you can, you know, you, if you want more details, you can hear that recording. Sorry, hear that on YouTube. What is the name of that seminar, which I always refer? Goloka chart. Okay. So you on YouTube, you can see Goloka, you can type Goloka chart, and you will see there are 5 seminars of 2.5 hours each, given by, you know, presentation given by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj disciple, and very nicely as presented, you know, by using slideshows and everything, using references, quotations from Shastras and all. So you will understand more clearly. And then he has also explained all the expanded Purusha avatars and all that, Guna avatars, how they come to the material world. So very beautiful explain on the point. So you can see that on YouTube. Okay. So, yeah.
Prabhupada, does this fund out the Goloka chart that Bhaktivinoda Maharaj published is more in depth than the Goloka chart that the BPT has. So right now the Goloka chart is laminated in front of me, so I'm just seeing so that here, as per the BBT Goloka chart, above Brahma Jyoti there's Aishwarya Dham and Madhurya Dham. So Aishwarya Dham, I mean, why is that differentiation done?
Okay.
Differentiation is done because of devotees' desires and because of the Lord, how he wants to reciprocate with the devotees. So basically, Aishwarya Bhava means, you know, it is with awe and reverence, where you see the Lord as the master, and you have a lot of respect for him. You have a lot of awe and reverence for him. So you don't cross beyond a certain limit. Okay, so the relationship is limited. It is confined. It does not grow deep. Okay, and generally Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, like, for example, your husband. Okay, you like your husband in your house, or you like your husband in the office. Right? You like your husband in your house, right? Much more. Because you share a very intimate relationship. But if you go to your husband's office, you'll be wearing, you know, formal tie, suit, pant and all that. Okay, and then obviously you cannot have that kind of intimate relationship with him in the office. Okay. But devotees who desire that kind of bhav, for them they go to that planet. So depending on the devotee's bhav, you know, they also go to that particular destination. Okay, so
but you mentioned that Dwarka comes to Golok, whereas in over here Dwarka is listed under Aishwarya Dham.
Yeah, because it is Aishwarya Dham, right? Because it is coming above Ayodhya Dham, and above that is Dwarka, and above Dwarka is Mathura. Okay, so Mathura is also painted with Aishwarya, you know, Bhav somewhat. It is like less Aishwarya Bhav, but there is also Aishwarya Bhav in Mathura. Okay, so Dwarka is also part of Aishwarya Bhav, but now, okay, so now why this Dwarka is in the, you know, section of Goloka is because there is Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and below that you go, then you find the abode of Lord Ramchandra. Okay, so because Krishna is present in Dwarka in his Vasudeva expansion, that is why it is in the Goloka category. Okay, that's why it is like that.
And he is known as Dwarkadish. So Dwarkadish comes under Aishwarya Dham only, no?
Yeah, so it is Aishwarya Dham, right? See, Aishwarya Dham, what you are seeing in the Goloka chart is actually for the Vishnu expansions.
Okay, yes. True, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. So that is different. Okay. So see, now it is, it's a borderline. You know, that is the reason it is borderline, because Dwarka is Krishna in Vasudeva expansion. So obviously the Aishwarya Bhav, the awe and reverence is, you know, less compared to the Vaikunthas. Okay. So that is the reason it comes in that category. And obviously Krishna is present. But in other planetary systems, in the Vaikunthas, Krishna is not there. Krishna is present in his Vishnu forms. So,
yes.
So there is a difference, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay. So any devotee, do you have any comments or questions? Okay. So, as I was reading that Vishwanatha Thakur quotes Vaishnava Toshini and Laghu Bhagavatamrita, so he says, these scriptures they say that also in that book it is said that Gokula's form of majesty, which is called Goloka, arises from showing greater powers. Okay, so this is further evidence for how that, you know, there is a section, you know, in the spiritual world where there is Aishwarya Goloka. So this is another evidence. Okay. Now, what is called Goloka? So, like, okay, you know, coming back to Pranav Prabhu's question about, you know, Goloka in general, it is named like that. Another thing, you know, you can understand that many Bhagavatam verses also, if you see, you know, it is given as Madhupuri. Like, right? If you see, there are some statements where it is mentioned the forest of Vrindavan is called as Madhupuri instead of directly calling it as, you know, Bhaulavan, Kumudvan, you know, Talvan, you know, different names. It is actually called Madhupuri. So now, Rupa Goswami and other acharyas, they mentioned this point that Madhupuri actually refers to Braj. So, and actually it includes both. It includes the city of Mathura as well as Braj. That's the reason why, if you remember, in our NOD class, which may be probably last class, you know, we had discussed that when we refer to the Yadus, so Yadus actually, come, both categories come into Yadu category. The inhabitants of Brajbhumi as well as the inhabitants of the Mathura, they all come in the category of Yadus. So that is the reason, if you remember, you know, I gave this example that, you know, this king, what's the name of that king, got married to Kshatriya,
And Vaishya.
Yeah, Kshatriya and Vaishya, right? And then from Vaishya lineage came the Vrajavasi. Kshatriya came, yeah. So, I forgot the name of that king who got married to these wives. I think before Surasen, before him probably. So I don't recollect now. But anyways, so this is the lineage, okay, and Yadus, that is the reason, you know, Rupa Goswami explains that Yadus refers to the inhabitants of Braj. And that's why, you know, it's given that the Yadus, you know, they are spontaneous devotion. So then Rupa Goswami clarifies that actually it refers to the inhabitants of Braj. Okay, so similarly, Madhupuri includes the city of Mathura as well as Vraj. Okay, so here also we have to understand like that. So Goloka in general is called Goloka, but then in Goloka there are further divisions. Okay, and you know, I will also share some more interesting insights on this. So, you know, just hear attentively. So now further it is said, what is called Goloka is but the majesty of Gokula. Okay, Gokul is known for its supreme sweetness. Goloka is a portion of Gokul which displays majesty. Thus, Golok is but the majestic aspect of Gokul because Gokul displays a superior position. So in the Patal Khand of Padma Puran, it is said, Aho Madhupuri Dhanya Vaikuntha Api. Actually, this Sanskrit is not translated properly because I copy question. So anyways, this is one of the words from Padma Puran in the Patal Khand. It is said, Aho Madhupuri Dhanya Vaikuntha Api. Gariyasi Binam Eka Nivasena Harav Bhakti Prajayate. So you see again, now this word Madhupuri is coming. Okay, so that is being translated as auspicious Gokul. This Madhupuri is actually translated as auspicious Gokul is superior to Goloka. Vaikuntha. So we have also read Vaikuntha. Aho Madhupuri Dhanya Vaikuntha Api, right? So this Vaikuntha is actually translated to be as Goloka. By staying there for only one day, devotion to the Lord arises. Okay. So this is another reference used by Vishwanath Thakur. The word Vaikuntha in this verse means more than majestic Goloka. Rather than more than Vaikuntha, because it is quoted by Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavat Amrit to illustrate the greater position of Gokul in comparison to Goloka. Okay. So these are the commentaries by Vishwanath Thakur. He has quoted Rupa Goswami as well as Sanatan Goswami's Vaishnava Toshari. So now I would also like to share another interesting thing. So Jeev Goswami now says that in Goloka only Swakya Ras exists. There is no Parikya Ras. Okay. This is the opinion of Jeev Goswami. But then Vishwanath Thakur, he actually refutes this point. And he says that Parikya also eternally exists in Goloka.
So why is this contradicting Prabhupada's statement?
Yeah. So I will clarify that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, those who worship Vaidhi Bhakti, Radha and Krishna, attain Goloka. And those who worship Radha Krishna attain Gokula. Okay.
Can you repeat?
So, those who worship Radha Krishna in Vaidhi, they attain Goloka. And those who worship Radha Krishna in Raganuga attain Gokul. Okay, so now what is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur perfectly tallies with what Vishwanath Thakur also says, that because in Gokul there is
Satya and Parakya.
There is only spontaneous devotion, okay? And those who worship Radha Krishna and Vaidhi Bhakti, they attain Goloka, which is what Vishwanath Thakur also says. Rupa Goswami also says that. Because Goloka means Aishwara Goloka. It's a portion of Gokul in the spiritual world where Radha Krishna are worshipped in Aishwara Bhava. Now, so regarding the a contradiction between Jeev Goswami and Vishwanath Thakur. So how can there be a contradiction, first of all? That is the question. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, have you heard about the book Gopal Kanpur?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jeev Goswami uses Gopal Kanpur as a reference and he proves that, in spiritual world, Radha Krishna and all the Sakhis married. So ultimately, everything gets resolved in Swakya Ras. Okay. But Vishwanath Thakur says, and I think you must have heard this from, our Parampara Gurujan. Some say that Vishwanath Jeev Goswami wrote this book, Gopal Kanpur, as an answer to the Smartha Brahmanas. Because, they were not able to accept the Parikya Ras of Radha and Krishna and they were criticizing. okay, they were committing offenses. So that is the reason Jeev Goswami actually wrote a book just to specify these Smartha Brahmanas.
Oh, yeah.
Because ultimately everything gets resolved in Satyaras, correct? That makes sense because, see, ultimately, see, so what is Satyaras?
Krupaya pratiksha kara. Your call has been put on hold. Please wait. Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara.
Hare Krishna.
Your call has been put on hold. Please wait. Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara. Your call has been put on hold. Please wait. Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara. Your call has been put on hold. Please wait. Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara.
Who is this? Premdas.
Your call has been put on hold.
I don't know. Premdas Prabhu.
Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara.
Aritra Prabhu, can you disconnect that call?
Tumcha call hold var ahe. Krupaya pratiksha kara.
Worship in Radhanuga. They attend Gokula. Okay, so now again, as we were discussing that, yeah, those who worship Radha and Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti, they attain Goloka, and those who worship Radha Krishna in Raghunuga attain Gokul. So now there is something very interesting to note that actually what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is referring to, and it's also given in the Goloka chart video, that devotee is also mentioning, he's quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's saying that, so first of all we know that there is Goloka in the spiritual world and there is Gokul. So now we are talking this Gokul, generally we refer it to the Bhoga Braj, the earthly pastimes of Krishna in the material world. So that's called Gokula in general. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is that those who worship Radha Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti, they go to Goloka, which is in the spiritual world. And those who are purely worship Radha Krishna in spontaneous devotion, they attain Gokul, which is in Bhoma Braj, in the material world.
So Goloka and Dwarka are the same, Prabhuji?
Goloka and?
Dwarka.
Dwarka? No, so Goloka consists of Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan.
No, you said that we who worship Radha Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti, go to the Aishwarya Bhava at Dwarka. But now again you are saying that if you worship Radha Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti, go to Goloka. It's confusing.
Yeah, so there is no confusion. That's why I said that your object of worship, depending on that, you will go there. So if you worship Krishna with Satyabhama or Krishna with Rukmini, then you go to Dwarka.
Okay.
If you worship Radha and Krishna, if you Radha and Krishna are your object of worship, but you worship them in Aishwarya Bhav, then you go to Goloka. So that Goloka consists of Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan. Okay, so now in that Vrindavan portion, there is Aishwarya Golok or in that Gokul, that is Aishwarya Golok. So how this makes sense? So the way they worship Krishna and Radharani is they see Krishna, although they see Krishna as a coward boy in Goloka, but they worship him as God. Okay, so they treat him as God basically in Goloka. So the conception of awe and reverence is there also in that particular section in the spiritual world. Okay. And then in that Golok chart video, there is something interesting that the devotee points out. And he says that actually in some Leela, the Vrajvasis or the Golokvasis basically, they would like to see, the Vaikunth form of Krishna. Or, Krishna in the, Supreme Personality of Godhead form. So that time the Lord will manifest Vaikunthas and all that, So those portions, it can be called as Aishwarya Goloka. So there are some Leelas where, if you all remember, when Nand Maharaj and, all the Vrajvasis, they went inside, in the lake, and then when they, Krishna made them see, Vaikuntha also, the 400 form and all that. So there are some leelas like that where Aishwarya Bhav is revealed to the Golokvasis. So then the devotee is pointing out, and I think he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he says that that's why, you know, they go to Goloka in the spiritual world. But if, when there is pure Raghunatha Bhakti, then it is only there in Gokul. Okay. So this is what is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that then they come to home of Braj. Okay. And now, in Shivaram Maharaj's book, okay, which I read recently, so I have, interestingly, you know, he has given some more details. But then, like, you know, I am actually in correspondence with Bhanu Maharaj. I'm asking him some questions about this. So there is some, because Shivaram Maharaj has quoted also, but, you know, Shivaram Maharaj also actually relies on Bhanu Maharaj. You know, whatever Bhanu Maharaj says, Shivaram Maharaj will accept that ultimately. So actually what Shivaram Maharaj says is that in the spiritual world there is Gokul and there is Vrindavan. Okay. And he says that those who eternally so he says that both actually Jiva Goswami said, no, that eternally Swakya Rasa is present in the spiritual world.
Mm.
And Vishwanatha Thakur says that eternally Parakya Rasa is present. So Shivaram Maharaj, he reconciles both things and he says that in the Gokul portion of that spiritual world there is Swakya Rasa present eternally, and in the Vrindavan portion of the spiritual world there is Parakya Rasa.
Parakya.
So actually the Vrindavan of, you know, Vrindavan in the spiritual world is the highest form of revelation of God, in the sense that, you know, it's the most intimate form. So naturally we know that Parakya Bhav is more superior to Swakya Bhav, because in Swakya Bhav, you know, the relationship is kind of limited, you know. And then there is some tinge of some selfish desire. Actually, you know, from a relative point of view, there is no, you know, selfish desire or something, but from an absolute point of view, there is some tinge of desire to associate with the Lord directly. Okay, so that is the reason Parikya Rasa is more exalted. In fact, in Parikya Rasa there are many obstacles, and that's why, you know, the see, whenever there is obstacle, then, you know, we tend to think more of, you know, like if you want to meet our beloved, and if there are obstacles, then we tend to think about them more. Separation is more, and the because of the separation, the intensity of love increases. Okay, so these are the two reasons. Okay, and in Parikya Rasa, the, you know, everything, you know, completely depends, you know, they all want to make Krishna happy. That is the only desire. So they don't even desire their own happiness. They don't even desire to associate with Krishna if he does not want. Okay, so these two reasons are given why Parikya Rasa is the highest. So this is what Shivaram Maharaj says. He reconciles this point, that in Vrindavan there is eternally Parikya Rasa present, and in Gokul eternally Swakya Rasa is present. And he says that ultimately that you know, Krishna and Radharani and other, you know, Vrajvasis in Gokul, they are actually the expansions of original Krishna and Radha in Vrindavan. Okay, that's what, you know, Shivaram Maharaj says. When I asked Bhanu Maharaj, so I don't know, like, you know, I cannot, because Bhanu Maharaj, I don't know, like, he probably, I mean, there is some, you know, kind of confusion here, because I guess, you know, there should be some kind of discussion between, you know, or some kind of reconciliation between Bhanu Maharaj and Shivaram Maharaj about this point. Because generally Gokul, what Bhanu Maharaj says is, Gokul actually is more exalted than Vrindavan. Okay, and I also wrote to Maharaj that, you know, when Shivaram Maharaj is referring to Gokul, he is actually referring to Gokul in the spiritual world. Because as I was sharing this, that Gokul, the Swakya Ras is present in Gokul. Okay, but in Bhauma Vraj is called Gokul also. So there is some confusion actually. Okay, so so this is something that I have to confirm actually. Anyway, so what Bhanu Maharaj says, he says that Parikya manifests only during earthly pastimes in Navan. This is what we quote Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami says that in the spiritual world there is Fakir Ras and Parikya manifests only during the earthly pastimes in Navan. But Vishwa Chattakur argues, however, that Jiva wrote such things to pacify others. So anyways, you know, this is somewhat, you know, unless and until we have the proper clarification on these points, it's a bit confusing.
What I have heard is, in this Bhauma Vrindavan, whoever is married, it is actually, apparently they are married because those are expansions of Krishna only to whoever Gopal, they are married. And in the spiritual world, it is due to the Yogmaya potency that all the gopis feel that they are married, but in fact they are not married. And they feel that they are in paramount love with Krishna. So this is how they experience pursuing the spiritual world.
Okay, yeah, but this...
Seven was said to be a four-handed form of Krishna. He was an expansion of Krishna.
Yeah, so even, see, ultimately, even if the, you know, the Parikyaras, obviously all the devotees are expansion of Krishna only, you know, because the gopis are all pure devotees, and, you know, just like, you know, Sita Maya, she was not touched by Ravana, like, as we all know, it was Maya Sita. So similarly, the gopis are much more exalted, even than Sita Maya, so obviously, they cannot be touched by any ordinary mortal, you know, living entity. So obviously, all these expansions are Krishna's expansion only. So, but this, so that's what, you know, the Jiva Goswami says that this Parakya Ras is not present. In fact, everything resolves in Sakya. And but Vishwa Chattakur, he says that this Parakya also exists internally. Okay, so... And Shivaram Maharaj also reconfirms this point. But then, I don't know if Bhanu Maharaj is aware of this or not. So, because Bhanu Maharaj is only quoting Jiva Goswami and Vishwa Chattakur, and when I wrote to him about this point from Shivaram Maharaj book, so then, you know, like, I don't know if he understood the, you know, properly or not. You know, about Gokul.
Gokul is Mathura and Vrindavan combined, or
into Mathura? See, okay, so first of all, in Bhauma Vraj, see, Bhauma Vraj is called as Gokul generally, and spiritual world is called Goloka. Okay, so that is one understanding. Second thing, now according to Shivaram Maharaj, so in Goloka, as we know, there is Vraj. So Vraj, when we say Vraj, Vraj Mandal Bhumi, so that consists of the entire Vraj, which is 84 crores. And in that Churyasi course, Rajmandal, there is Gokul also, which is the birthplace of, or you can say the, where Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Maya resided. And later on they moved to Nandgaon, right? So that Gokul is that, basically. Okay, so in that Goloka consists of Mathura, Dwarka and Braj. Okay, and in the Braj portion, there is Gokul. And there is Vrindavan, correct? So that's what Shivaram Maharaj is saying, that in the Gokul portion of spiritual world, there is eternal Swakya Ras. And in Vrindavan, there is eternal Parikya Ras. Okay, and one thing is, like, you know, what Bhanu Maharaj is saying is, that generally Gokul is more superior. Okay, so I think probably, you know, he's referring to the earthly Gokul, because that is more superior in the sense that there is Parkya Ras in the, you know, in Gokul, and that is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says. Okay, so anyway, I think maybe I will wait for more clarification on this, and but what we have discussed till now is too much. I think we have discussed many details on this. One thing we have to understand is that, and I don't know how many devotees knew about this also, first of all, no one knows that in spiritual world, there is both eternal Swati and Parakya taking place simultaneously. I think now, many devotees are not knowing this also. Okay, and then obviously further details of Goloka, what we're discussing, that, Aishwara Goloka and all that, that also, devotees are not aware of. So, Vishwanatha Thakur, Jeev Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have all given a lot of information. I think we just have to have some clarification, because when I saw that Goloka chart, which was presented by the devotee, disciple of Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, so he made this point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that those who worship Radha Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav, they go to Golok, Aishwarya Golok in the spiritual world. But those who worship Radha Krishna in pure spontaneous form, they go to Bhoma Vraj, Gokul in the material world. So this is something, it requires more clarification actually. So maybe, it might take some time, but I will try to sort this out. Anyway, so what do you think? It was so interesting, right?
Yes,
I believe
Srinath ji,
but
Srinath ji is also in Gokul.
See, one thing we have to understand. One, see, Srinath ji is who? Who said it is Aishwarya Bhav? It's not Aishwarya Bhav. It's a deity of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal. And Gopal is not different from the coward boy Krishna. So, Madhavendra Puri was in, he was in, he's a Kalpavrikshatri in the spiritual world. So he has seen intimate pastimes of Lord, and in fact, even the Sakhis and, the Manjaris, they have not seen that pastimes. So, Madhavendra Puri is the, he's the root of conjugal love. So Gopal Diki by Madhavendra Puri, he used to worship, so it is the same Krishna, but he is worshipped in different ways, So in Nathdwara, when I was talking to this Nathdwara devotee, so he was explaining that generally, they follow this system of Dasya Bhav. Although the Vatsila Bhav is given by Vallabhacharya, but the way of worship is Dasyam, everything service to the Lord. We approach in the service. But you see, it is also Pushti Marg. It is Raj Marg. So it is it's not on reverence as such. It is based on Raj Marg. Sentiments are there, That's why you see many Gujaratis, they have this natural, they are naturally devotees of Krishna and they worship Krishna, very, like a relative. Because it's that's what Ragmag means, Ragmag is you already see Krishna as your relative, your, relationship you have with the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
that would be Gokul, that is what I mean, the place, which we say.
That all information that we don't know now, because originally, Gopalpati was, we have to see one thing, that Gopal or Radha Gopinath, Radha Rajbihari or whichever deity, they are manifestation of the Lord. Okay, so now one can ask that Radha Gopinath, where does it belong? Does it belong to Gokul or who it belongs to? So that is the conception. Okay, so conception in the sense that if you approach Radha Gopinath, in Parakya Ras, then one could say that, it's in Vrindavan. So it's not that, they are like in Gokul or Vrindavan, or it's the same Krishna, same Radharani, so the deities are you approach them through your conception, how you want to worship them.
Yeah.
And then the Lord will manifest like that. So the form will be like that, of whatever, if you are in, if you want Parakya Ras, Swakya Ras, or Sakya Bhav, whatever, That's how we'll approach. And that is the reason, you know, if you see, if you worship Krishna through Vaidhi Bhakti, then you will see him as a coward boy. See, if you, like, you know, it makes sense, you know, because you, let's say in ISKCON we are seeing so many deities, like when we go to temples, then Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Madhav, we see them as coward boys, but at the same time we know that they are God. So if we know, we worship them through Vaidhi, then obviously, you know, the conception we carry in the spiritual world also, that we are, you know, seeing, you know, coward Krishna, but we are having feelings that, you know, he's God. So we'll worship him with awe and reverence, even as a coward boy, you know, in the form of coward boy. Okay, so that's the concept, that how you approach the Lord, he will reveal to you, right? That is the basic understanding. So you worship coward boy and you see him as your relative, you know, you're like, that's what we have, you know, discussed in our previous class. What are the two different types of, you know, Raganuga Bhakti? Anyone remembers? Sambandhanuga and Kamanuga, right?
Kamanuga.
So Sambandhanuga comes, you know, the other three bhavas, you know, Vatsila, Dasya, Sakya. And Kama means the love of the gopis.
Madhurya.
So it's all about our bhav, how, you know, so it all manifests, you know, the rasa and everything will manifest over a period of time, how we want to approach the Lord. So it is like, you know, kind of, you know, completely madhurya rasa is there, like completely sweetness is there, like complete spontaneous devotion. Then spontaneous devotion mixed with Aishwarya bhav, like, you know, so that place takes place in, you know, Mathura, like that, something like that, or maybe it takes place in Golok, you know, Aishwarya Golok. And then further you go down, the more Aishwarya you have, you know, bhav, the more you go to Mathura Dwarka, like that. And also depends on, you know, whom you worship, Radha and Krishna, or Krishna with Rukmini or Satyabhama, like that. So different approach, you go to different destination.
It's very clear, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so see, concept we have to understand. Concept should be clear, a basic concept that bhav is most important, and there are two things, Vaidhi and Raganuga. You know, you can, and your object of worship. So who is your object of worship and how you approach them? So accordingly we'll get that destination in the spiritual world. Okay, like that. So this is very important to understand. If I get further details, then I will surely share. Okay, about, you know, reconciling all these things together. So, you know. Okay, so, alright, so any questions or comments on this? What about other devotees? Like, have you understood these things? Okay, I hear only one voice.
Yes, Guru, understood.
Okay, two.
Yes, two. Yeah, understood.
Okay, three. Then, how many devotees have joined? Zero? Nidhi Mataji, you have question? Nidhi Mataji? She's already transported to Nidralok, I guess. Okay. Anyways, you know, I'm going to ask this question in the exam. Not this one, but upcoming exam. So, I hope all devotees have got clarification. They have understood this. Okay, well, Pranav Prabhu, your list of questions is over now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, alright. So, any other devotees have any questions? No question. Okay. So can we continue? Chapter 17. So who will read?
No. Near to Jawala.
Acha, now let me mention this point that we have finished Sadhana Bhakti. So does anyone know that we have completed Sadhana Bhakti? The first 16 chapters, we spoke about Sadhana Bhakti.
Yes, Prabhu. I knew.
Right?
Yes.
So what are the, you know, what are the three types of bhakti?
Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti.
And vaidya bhakti?
Correct.
And what about vaidya bhakti, bro?
Now, what about?
Vaidya bhakti.
Vaidya? That is something new bhakti I am hearing for the first time. Sumit Prabhu is the, you know, creator of this bhakti.
Which bhakti is my Prabhuji?
Right.
No, you are talking about Vaidhi Bhakti.
Vaidhi Bhakti you are talking about.
Vaidhi Bhakti.
Vaidhi Bhakti is the part of Sadhana Bhakti.
Achha.
Yes. So what Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti, they come under the category of Sadhana Bhakti.
Aribol?
So, if you all remember,
Aribol?
Haan.
Prabhuji, I have one question. Is Uttama Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari is on same level or is it a different level?
Obviously it should be different, no? Otherwise why this
one time,
why do we call Madhyam Uttam?
Because one time Srila Prabhupada conversation in morning walk lecture to Sasrup Das Goswami Maharaj and many followers. So Prabhupada said one thing that when we come in Madhyam Adhikari, we are in platform of elevated soul. So Uttama Adhikari is a very topmost level, no? Is a very elevated platform. So how come that Madhyam Adhikari will be an elevated platform?
Yeah, so. Okay, so any devotee would like to answer this?
Right now I heard, means in morning I heard the audio of Prabhupada.
Okay, so any devotees, they can extend this?
So what is the question, sir?
Yeah.
Question is, Sumit Prabhu is asking that Prabhupada said in one class that Madhyam Adhikaris, they are exalted, they are elevated. And we know that Uttama Adhikaris are the topmost. So he is asking whether Uttama and Madhyama are the same, because Prabhupada said Madhyama are elevated. So what is the answer?
When one is on the Uttama level, he sees everyone as equal and as a potential devotee of Krishna. And except himself, he sees everyone as elevated. So in that preaching cannot be done at that level. So from Uttama, one has to come to the Madhyama. And in Madhyama, one can preach. And Prabhupada was, because this movement is Goshtyanandi, the preaching movement. So one has to preach as much as possible for pleasing Krishna. So that would please Krishna. So coming down to Madhyama is also glorious. Because from that level one can preach also.
Yeah, okay, so that's a very good answer. Any more points? So did you understand what Rama Prabhu said?
Yeah, and I understood too. But
okay, yeah, and some devotee was saying something?
Yeah, Uttam Adhikari is fully, means he is no Arab Shastra and he has full faith in that. He can defeat anyone in Shastra argument.
Okay, so I'm not asking about the qualifications of Uttam Adhikari. I'm asking that, okay. What is there a difference between Uttama and Madhyama? That's what the question is. Because Madhyama, Prabhupada said, they are elevated. And Uttama also, they are topmost devotees. So how there is a difference? Okay. So Madhyama is not
Madhyama Adhikari is only need to be a pure deity.
Okay. Not exactly right. So who is the pure devotee? So how do you define a pure devotee?
Devotion service of the Lord.
Huh? What?
A devotee who is sent engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Undisturbed by Maya.
Okay, so Pranav Prabhu is saying a devotee who is undisturbed, unflinching in his devotional service to the Lord. And Sakshi Mohan Prabhu is saying that Anya Bilasita Sunyam, whoever is following that verse. Okay, so see, if you all remember, we have discussed this so many times, that pure devotee, there are different definitions to that. Okay, now you see, even Uttama Adhikari, even he can be contaminated. It's not necessary he will be completely pure. Because completely pure means at the state of prema. Because at the state of prema, there is no contamination. Everything is destroyed. All the anarthas are destroyed. At the state of bhav, some anarthas, remnants of anarthas will remain. So there is still some contamination is there. Okay, so then now bhava also is Uttama Adhikari. Why? Because we know that there is a category of Uttama Adhikari. There is Kanishth Uttam, there is Madhyam Uttam, and there is Uttama Uttam. Okay, so all these three categories are also called Uttama Adhikaris, Uttam Bhaktas, right? So that is the reason first we have to define what is pure devotion. And that is the reason, I explained this concept earlier that sometimes, devotees outside ISKCON or Gaudiya Math, they will say that there are no pure devotees in ISKCON. Because, they are judging in terms of, whether someone is a Nitya Siddha or whether someone is at the level of Bhava or Prema. So that is their way of seeing things. Okay, but I have already explained that anyone, the borderline of calling someone a pure devotee comes at the state of Nishtha. Okay, so what Pranav Prabhu was saying, that if someone renders steady service to the Lord, unflinching, then he can also be called as a pure devotee. It's just that he has more material contamination than the Uttama Adhikari. And even in the amongst Uttama Adhikaris also, the Uttama Uttam is the highest. So the Madhyam Uttama also has some contamination. Okay. So that is the reason we have to draw a line somewhere. The how can we define or identify a pure devotee? So that's why Nishtha is the minimum qualification. Someone is in the state of Nishtha, then he can be considered as a pure devotee. Okay. And obviously that definition will evolve. And ultimately it reaches prema. Right? So like that we have to see. So coming back to Sumit Prabhu's question, so we have to understand that Madhyam Adhikaris, as Pranav Prabhu said, that first of all, sometimes we don't know. Some Uttama Adhikari might come in the garb of a Madhyam Adhikari because he's preaching. So probably that's why that's why he's very exalted. But even if a Uttama Adhikari is not coming Madhyama, as Madhyama Adhikari, and actually some devotee, he's progressing from Kanishtha to Madhyama, then that Madhyama Adhikari is also elevated. Why? Because he is free from the modes of material contamination. Right? So modes of passion, ignorance are destroyed at the stage of Nishtha. Okay, so the stage of Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, these are all very elevated stages. And generally Nishtha, Ruchi means, you know, they are the Madhyamas actually in these stages. Okay, so they are also very elevated. So they are elevated compared to the Kanishthas. Okay, so like that. So that's how we have to understand. That, you know, Madhyamas are elevated because they discriminate. They are strong faith. Okay, and that is the reason why they are called as elevated devotees. And they can also give mercy to others. They preach. Okay, that's why. So does this answer your question?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you very much for
yeah, okay. Yeah, and Sakshi Bhavan Prabhu, does this make sense to you?
Yes, please.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, see, this is a question, you know, that every devotee should know the answer. Who is a pure devotee? Because, you know, outside devotees can attack ISKCON, claiming that there is no pure devotee, or, you know, ISKCON devotees are neophyte, or, you know, they are following a low standard. Prabhupada has given the basics. So all these things, you know, we have to tackle very nicely. We should be ready to answer, you know. And that's the reason, you know, we have the exam, so that, you know, all these questions, the important questions, you know, they will come in the exam. You know, these are very important to address. Okay. So, any questions or comments on this?
Prabhuji, Haribol.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, you told that Gaudiya Vaishnavas, in Gaudiya Math, some devotees are judging ISKCON. But it's not like that. I met many devotees in Gaudiya Math. They are not judging ISKCON, but they are glorifying Srila Prabhupada mission and our Hare Krishna movement. And they are saying that the ISKCON mission is doing very successful preaching all over the world about the glories of pastimes of Krishna, and making others devotees. Means rather they are some people are so materialistic, and ISKCON is helping others to make them a proper devotee by giving a proper knowledge. They are glorifying like this. I have one of my friend in Gaudiya Math. He's not connected with ISKCON, but their friends is glorifying to ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada has done very much nice thing, that he has given me lot of books and lot of Prabhupada tapes, and likewise, and they also listen our Maharaja's lecture, like Radhanath Maharaj and Gopal Krishna Maharaj lectures in their temples.
Yeah.
In their mathas.
Yeah. So see, we have to understand that Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a big, you know, organization, and we already know that during the time of Prabhupada, many godbrothers of Prabhupada were criticizing him, you know, when he was personally present, and then there were godbrothers who were also praising him, right? Mm-hmm. So in any organization, there will be people who will be against and who will be supporting, right? So, if devotees outside ISKCON, if they praise Prabhupada, if they are having good opinion about ISKCON, then it is good. You know, then we appreciate their sentiments, and, you know, we respect them, and, you know, it's very good actually. But there are also, you know, others who will say something. In fact, I will also tell you something, that, you know, there are some devotees, you know, who will externally glorify Prabhupada, ISKCON, but internally they will say that Prabhupada gave only the basics, or ISKCON, there are only neophytes, there are only Kanishthas. You know, I have also personally seen such devotees, you know, who do this. So they have a lot of praise, you know, glories of Prabhupada, they will talk. They have respect, they have, you know, appreciation of Prabhupada, what he has done, And obviously, they also know that Prabhupada was a Nitya Siddha. They accept that. But about ISKCON, you know, they think that, you know, the devotees are Kanishta or they are not so advanced or something like that. Okay, and then obviously, they will also try to internally they will try to you know, like, you know, we say that I mean, you know, they will try to push the feelings of, you know, fire amongst the devotees, like, you know, when we get close to them, then they will reveal their own feelings, you know. So there are devotees like that also, so we have to be careful. In any case, you know, if you meet nice devotees who appreciate ISKCON, Prabhupada, then we can have good friendship with them. But if we try to be close with them, and if they start saying things that don't read Prabhupada's books and you should read, you know, higher books, then we should be careful and then we should be able to answer them. Okay. So this is the thing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, in fact, you know, I know devotees who have taken initiation from Gaudiya Math Maharaj, and they are also within ISKCON, you know, and I have personal experience this, that, you know, externally they will glorify ISKCON, but when you have close exchange with them, then they will start revealing their own, you know, this thing, that how their Maharaj books are, you know, revealing higher things. And in fact, I will tell you one thing, that Prabhupada has made, you know, two initiations, right? Harinam initiation and Gayatri initiation. But, you know, they will say that actually the real initiation is the Gayatri one. So Prabhupada never said this. Okay. In fact, he always emphasized on Harinam. But you see, outside ISKCON, Gaudiya Math specially emphasized on Gayatri. Okay. So we have to be careful. You know, then they will also say many things, you know, that... you know, it's like, you know, kind of risk actually. We have to be very careful. Otherwise, we have to, see, ultimately, we have to be committed to our Gurujan. That is ultimate, okay? And we have to have confidence in their teachings. So we should have confidence in the teaching of Prabhupada and our Gurujan. That is the reason we should not hear from everyone. That's the first principle, you know, in our spiritual life. We should not associate, we should not hear from everyone. And I will tell you one thing, that even in the Gaudiya Math, this is, you know, not so strictly followed. In Gaudiya Math, they will allow, you know, their disciples to hear from ISKCON. See, why? Because I will tell you one thing, that because ISKCON is, you know, giving the emphasis of ISKCON is basic teachings. You know, that be a humble servant. And spread Krishna consciousness. And generally you see, our gurus in ISKCON, all the gurus in ISKCON, when they speak openly, they will speak basic things, general things. They will not go so deep into the tattva and all that, in the ras tattva and all that, right? So that's why, you know, if they are taking shiksha from ISKCON, it, you know, does not harm them in any way. But when we go outside of ISKCON and when we take shiksha from them, what happens is, they focus too much on Ras Tattva and they do not, you know, consider so much of basic principles which Prabhupada stressed, like, you know, 16 rounds of chanting and then regulative principles and then spreading Krishna consciousness. So these things, you know, you will not find there. And many things they will say that you will find different from what Prabhupada said. Many things, you know, there are so many differences. Actually, you know, if you read in the GBC website, you know, they have published a paper why they don't want ISKCON devotees to take shiksha from Gaudiya Math, or they do not allow any Gaudiya Math. See, have you in ISKCON temple, in any of the ISKCON temples, have you ever seen or have you ever heard any Gaudiya Math devotee coming and, you know, have you heard that or have you seen that? Because it's not allowed. You know, the GBC is very clear on this, that they do not allow any outsider to come to ISKCON premises and give a class. Why? Because we'll be confused. Because the philosophy, the teachings, everything, you know, it differs. So whenever there is difference, then obviously we cannot accept that. That is the principle. See, we say that it's a Shiksha Sampradaya. You know, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Bhagavata Sampradaya is Shiksha Sampradaya, right? So then, why then, you know, we are not allowed to take siksha from outside ISKCON also? Because ultimately they are also Vaishnavas. Right? So why do we stick to Prabhupada? So what is the answer for this? Please, you know, share your views. This is a very important question. And this is going to come in the exam also.
Right.
100% on NOD and CC both class. It's a Guru Tattva concept.
Right.
Why do we only hear from Prabhupada?
Because Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to chant the holy name of Lord, basically, first of all. And other Gaudiya Mathas are focused on, like, not focused on chanting, sitting down, but they are focused on the scriptural reading the scriptures. But holy name...
64 rounds, scripture, uh-huh. Shastra reading, you know, uh-huh. Rasa Tattva, uh-huh. going deep into Rasa and uh-huh. all that.
But in our ISKCON, holy name is important, and then important is Shastra. First holy name, then Shastra, and then Vaishnava service.
Well, that is not exactly, you know, the system. You know, basically, you know, Prabhupada has given us a responsibility to preach. And because he did that, he followed that. And obviously, so see, what is the basic principle why we have to follow Prabhupada? What is the basic principle? Why we have to only hear from Prabhupada?
Because our mission is
Goshtanandi
mission.
Why? Why our mission is Goshtanandi mission?
Because it is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay, but then one can say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavism also. So Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not limited to ISKCON. Then Gaudiya Math and then other organizations within Gaudiya Math also will come under that. So why they are not preaching so much? And you see, even they are successful actually, you know, like Prabhupada, you know, spoke, if you remember, Prabhupada spoke, he actually criticized one of his godbrothers at some point of time, and then later when the godbrother passed away, he said that he went back to Godhead because he preached Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur. So it's very interesting, right?
Because Prabhupada has carried out the mission of his spiritual master.
Yeah, so obviously one could say that Prabhupada was the only one who actually took the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur to his heart, and you know, he had implicit faith in his instruction and the holy name. So he was the most successful preacher in the entire history of human race. Right? So one could say that is true. But at the same time, even in Vajramad also, you see Narayan Maharaj, then Bhaktivinoda Sridhar Maharaj and all these, they also have, you know, preached. So they were not just Goswami or, you know, Bhadnanandis, but they have also preached. Like, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, you know, he was the one who actually started preaching, and under him, there were sannyasis, brahmacharis who actually established 64 temples in India. So they actually started. If the preaching started from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then it was passed down to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Okay? So you see, even amongst godbrothers also, there was a variety, you know, like some would prefer bhajan and some would prefer preaching. And according to their capacity, they have preached. But Prabhupada has preached, you know, to the max limit because he was completely surrendered. So one could say like that. But at the same time, the other godbrothers also, they were very exalted. Although they were not so successful as Prabhupada, but they were very exalted. In fact, you know, Radhanath Maharaj was also saying in one class that, you know, who had a higher rasa with Krishna in the spiritual world is difficult to guess. But because Prabhupada had intense desire to preach, that's why he was most successful. Okay. So in terms of preaching, we see, you know, obviously Prabhupada is the, you know, he's the uncomparable Acharya. But if you see from internal point of view, then we cannot say, you know, who was more exalted, who has a more higher relationship with Krishna, right? So that these things we cannot understand. So that is, see, why then, you know, we have to follow Prabhupada. So what is the principle? You know, like, why do we follow Prabhupada? I'm surprised no one has the answer to this. Okay, but if I don't want to, you know, if I don't want to accept Prabhupada, then why should I follow him?
See, if you are in Islam, we cannot say we will not accept Prabhupada.
Yes, that's right. Correct. Yeah, so this is what I was looking for. So basically, so what does it mean? That your faith should be very strong in Prabhupada. If you want to follow someone throughout your life, then your faith should be, you have to be, you know, completely sold out to that devotee. You know, if you want to follow the instructions of that devotee throughout the life. Okay. So the faith has to be there, obviously. Right? So when we come to ISKCON, you know, if you have faith in Prabhupada and if you think that, you know, he's the, you know, like ultimate, you know, like he's our preeminent guru, then obviously we have an obligation. And obviously, you know, because Prabhupada has spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, so because of him, majority of the people have become devotees. So they have an obligation or indebted to Prabhupada. Okay. But still, you know, let's say that, you know, the ultimate criteria is faith, finally. You know, if devotees, they have the faith that, you know, for them Prabhupada is the preeminent guru, then they have to follow. So that's the principle of etiquette, you know, amongst the guru and the disciple. So, you know, we have discussed so much in detail about guru-disciple etiquette from Krishna Bhadnamrit by Naradi Sarkar. So wherein he states that for a disciple, the foremost, you know, is his Diksha and Siksha Guru. So even though there will be advanced devotees, then his Diksha and Siksha Guru, but he will not follow him. He will follow for him with, you know, heart, soul and mind. He will always follow his Diksha and Siksha Guru. So that's how we will give them special respect. Right? So because Prabhupada is our Siksha Guru, preeminent Siksha Guru, we are following him. That's it. Okay, so this we have to always remember, that because our faith is more in Prabhupada than any of the other, you know, devotees in Gaudiya Math, that's why we are following Prabhupada. And we have the conviction that what Prabhupada did, we also want to do the same thing. That's why we have faith in Prabhupada. Okay? So that's how we have to understand. Now devotees in Gaudiya Math, you know, they have faith, probably more faith in their guru or in their acharya. Okay, so they're following them, and you know, and that is also okay. You know, that is not something, you know, wrong or something. That is also right. So see, for them to take siksha from ISKCON is not a big thing, because they are just hearing basic things. So that will not create confusion amongst them. But when we go outside to take siksha, then, you know, we hear this, you know, higher things and all that, and then, you know, we hear many things that Prabhupada did not say. So then, you know, it completely confuses us. Okay. Now what to speak of outside ISKCON also. Yeah, I can give you my own personal example. You know, when I was taking siksha from Mahanidhi Maharaj in Radhakund. So many things were going on that time, you know, and GBC was actually, they had issues about that. Because, you know, Mahanidhi Maharaj had conducted a Rasila Katha in Radhakund. You know, and he was residing in Radhakund. You know, and Prabhupada, like, you know, if you see what Prabhupada's mood is, you know, that does not completely tell you with what Mahanidhi Maharaj was actually doing. Okay, so all these things, you know, we actually understood later. But initially, you know, there was like so much confusion going around that, you know, Prabhupada never spoke about Rasila, first of all. And Prabhupada never stayed at Radhakund, you know, for so many years. And then obviously Prabhupada said that, you know, one who is on the level of Raghunath Das Goswami can live at the banks of Radhakund. So that's a big statement. Okay. And then obviously Mahanidhi Maharaj, you know, isolated himself. He was there, you know, he was doing bhajan alone. He was not associating with ISKCON gurus, sannyasis. His method of worship was also different from Prabhupada's. You know, he was not doing Mangalarti in the morning and all that. He had a different way. You know, all these things were there. And you know, you see, after 25 years, you know, Maharaj stayed there for 25 years. And then, you know, finally it came out that, you know, like he had some problems with, you know, some Mataji. Okay, so then the GBC, you know, came out with, you know, openly they had to publish, because Mahanidhi Maharaj disciples complained to the GBC that, you know, we have seen it personally. So we'd like to, you know, so actually they saw it, and they one of Mahanidhi Maharaj disciples also experienced, you know, one Mataji. So then, you know, they complained, and then the disciples gave time to Maharaj to rectify himself, but that did not happen. And then finally, you know, they had to all reject him. So these Mahanidhi Maharaj disciples, they took initiation from Gaudiya Math sannyasis after that. And I think one took initiation from Radhanath Maharaj. Okay. So that is the reason. See, even among system also, we have to draw the line. We cannot hear from each and every devotee. We cannot hear from each and every guru. Okay. That's why we have this, you know, concept of Guru Tattva, which is, you know, Diksha and Siksha Guru. And what does it say? That first you decide who is the foremost object of worship for you. Who is that devotee? Who is the foremost? You know, who is inspiring you the most, and whose teachings are resonating with you in the heart completely. And then later on, so that devotee should become your Diksha Guru. You know, that's a natural way to select a Diksha Guru. Okay, so one Diksha Guru is selected, then whoever represents or, you know, repeats the words of that Diksha Guru can be accepted as Siksha Guru. So not everyone else, even though we are in Prabhupada's movement, but we cannot accept each and every devotee as, you know, Siksha Guru, because the Siksha Guru might also give different teachings. Okay, so you see, you know, in one sense, Mahanidhi Maharaj, you know, Siksha, what he was giving, it was also not telling with, you know, my Diksha Guru, Radhanath Maharaj. Okay. So then obviously it will create a lot of confusion, and the purpose of Guru Tattva is not to create confusion, but it is actually to create harmony. You know, everything has to be reconciled for the disciple. The disciple should not get confused, otherwise the meaning is lost. The, you know, what is the meaning of Guru then? You know? So we have to decide like that. We have to choose gurus, Siksha gurus, in such a way that, or in other words, if someone has taken premature initiation, and if they think that they are getting more inspiration from the Siksha Guru than the Diksha Guru, then they should humbly approach Diksha Guru, you know, tell him that, you know, we are inspired more by this Siksha Guru who is in ISKCON, and then render, you know, we can get connected to the Siksha Guru also, and have the same kind of faith that one has in the Diksha Guru. And then the Siksha Guru will become the frame of reference, and other devotees, whoever repeats that Siksha Guru, whoever is, you know, representing that Siksha Guru, they will also become our Siksha Gurus. Okay. So, I hope this is clear, you know, very important concept. So, is this okay? Like, everyone understood this concept?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, Sumit Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Understood.
Yeah, and one more thing we have to remember, that just because ISKCON means, you know, Prabhupada is everywhere, does not mean that, you know, there are like thousands of Siksha Gurus we have. So if you tell someone you have 100 Siksha Gurus, you know, then devotees will laugh at you, because I will tell you something, that Guru relationship is not just meant to take, you know, Siksha from wherever you want. It is meant to render service to those who are giving you constant Siksha. Okay, so if you neglect them, and if you try to go and hear from everyone, then you will not be anywhere, you know, your position, because it is always to be rendered, you know, service has to be rendered to whoever is teaching you something. You have to render service, otherwise what is the point? You know, taking from everywhere, but, you know, and doing little for everyone, and sometimes, you know, you have to please someone and you have to displease someone. You know, one devotee, one of your Siksha Gurus will say, like, if you have 100 Siksha Gurus, then, you know, one will say, you should do this, and other will say something opposite. So then you will feel, oh, you know, this Prabhuji said this, whom should I follow? If I follow him, then he will be displaced. So this is very, you know, conflicted situation. We cannot do that. We have to have faith in our Gurujan. what they say, we have to follow that actually. What is the use? No, it's without any this thing, like, you know, commitment. It's simply our mind, you know, going here and there. That's why Radhanath Maharaj in one class was saying that if devotees, they keep hearing from different devotees and with no faith, then they actually, you know, they are actually attached to their mind rather than the guru, because their mind is, you know, one time it will say, this guru is very inspiring. The other time, you know, they'll say that, oh, this guru is actually more inspiring than this guru. So they'll just keep jumping here and there. So it's not a shopping, you know, like shopping market, where you, if you don't like here, you go there, then you go otherwhere, you know, like some other places. So you have to be the first, this is the first duty of a disciple, that he has to first select his Diksha and Shiksha gurus. He has to find out. And then he has, then make a commitment to them, you know, for life, that, you know, you will serve them. You will take knowledge, serve them, and then purification will take place. Okay, so purification can only take place through service. There's no other way. Humility and service. That's it. Okay, so if other devotees, you know, they might be more advanced, even if they come, you know, and they are seeking your help, you can very politely say, if that conflict service of your Gurujan, then you can very politely say that, sorry, you know, I have to serve my Gurujan, so I cannot render service. So very politely you can say, and that is perfect. Okay, because for a disciple, the Guru is everything. Okay? I hope this makes sense to everyone. Okay, so any last question, any comment on this? Okay, alright, so we'll end today's session and we'll continue next week. Sunday we'll have our exam.
One final question is, if we are following Prabhupada seriously,
wow, you are in Goloka. Krishna started playing flute.
No, I don't
such
know.
Such a wonderful lecture I gave.
No, I don't know who plays flute. What I'm saying, if you are following Prabhupada,
yeah.
Some devotees, I don't know how, not more than that, some devotees are already, means just a moment, I will, just now, afternoon I was listening Maharaj class. That time I just questioned myself that and Sishtasakam Prabhu also answered, but not sufficient answer he has given, that why some devotees take Guru's mercies or Lord's mercies for granted, like some devotees giving mercy to another devotees to make them purify, but that devotee is taking as a granted, and that devotee will become weak, na? But person giving the mercy will not become weak, right? But according to me, person giving the mercy will become weak, because if the person accessing the mercy from any spiritual master or guru or Lord, if he or she is accessing mercy from him, then he or she should not take as a granted, but out of humility and compassion, the spiritual master is showering all the mercy to him or her. But some devotees are taking as granted. So why is this like this? So why they are not respecting the pure devotees? Pure devotees are, means, who showers the blessings on us, mercy on us, to overcome our miseries and to contribute our in our spiritual life? Why some people are taking granted and not accepting devotees' mercy as a Krishna's mercy? And some devotees are taking Krishna's mercy also being granted. Some devotees are like this. So why is this like this?
Because we have, the root cause is ego. Because we have ego, so we cannot identify. And especially the Guru's mercy has to be taken very strongly. It cannot be taken cheaply. So whoever is our Gurujan, their mercy is to be considered first. So obviously, if we neglect it, we take it for granted, then obviously that's our ego. So we should not do like that. So that is mainly because of ego, and maybe because the devotee does not want to go further.
Because I saw many devotees are just taking Guru's mercy or Lord's mercy as granted. They say, it's all just take of benediction. I don't want benediction. It's okay. Like this they are saying. Some devotees, some...
Yeah, maybe they are joking or, probably if they are serious, then they will get the realization one day that we should not take it for granted.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. We will end the session. Thank you all the devotees. Hare Krishna and Dandavat Pranam to all.
Thank you.